Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Welcome back. You're on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHP, and we're going to talk a little college football. And why wouldn't you in May talk college football? We do it with CBS's Dennis Dodd. He joins us on our Sprint guest line. Dennis, how are you?
Soren, how are you? I'm great.
I'm doing well, and I like any kind of college football news that I can get my hand on. And I love rankings, okay? I like when the AP somebody told me I'm an idiot because I'm working for free when I take the vote in the AP in basketball or football. But I absolutely love that. And we do our college basketball rankings, which gets everybody fired up. And you guys at CBS do a great ranking of the 65 and I have college basketball coach rankings, I guess I should say. Mm-hmm. You guys do the 65 Power 5 coaches and rank them. And you've done it for a number of years. And that's what I love is you've got some history to it now because I love how far people are going up and down. We'll talk about the local guys and who's at the top. But is this something – is this a labor of love? Is it agony? Do you enjoy it? Are you as big a nerd on this kind of stuff as I am?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, we love lists. The internet loves lists. So, yeah, you know, the top three or four aren't going to change from year to year. You know, I don't want to – spoiler alert, you know, Nick Saban is number one. But a guy like Jimbo Fisher has changed jobs. Chris Peterson continues to kill it at Washington. I was surprised, frankly, that Gary Patterson – was up to number six overall at TCU. He was in the top 10 last year, but moved up to number four. I think I personally had him there, but obviously people thought much more of him than maybe I did. And I love the guy, so I'm glad he's at number six. So yeah, it is. I would challenge anyone to do it. It's really hard to keep it straight when you get down to about number 20. Or not number 30, and you go, oh, I forgot Jim Harbaugh. Where does he fit? You know, and then you got to go back and do it all over again. And so that's where mine's brighter than me.
Yeah. So, and how many of you guys do? It's like an AP poll where you all put in your 1 through 65, and then you compile the average and get it. How many guys put in their vote?
It's all the college football writers: Barrett Salee, Tom Fornelli, Ben Kirchival, myself. We all submit our top 65. It's just the Power Five, and then they just, you know, they are, our editor averages them out or puts the final or combines all the votes together, and we come up with this.
At the top, you already mentioned it, Nick Saban is number one, Urban Meyer number two, Dabo Sweeney number three, and Jimbo Fisher at number four. Those are all in the same spots they were last year.
Yes.
So the shine didn't come off Jimbo Fisher with last year's disappointing season at all?
No. In fact, I think this is one of the more fascinating stories of the offseason. He leaves one powerhouse for, you know, a school that's not so much of a powerhouse. Texas A&M has the best of everything in terms of money and facilities and everything else, but they haven't won a conference title since Sir Parker caught that touchdown pass in overtime against K-State's Demetrius Butler in 1998. And they are desperate to get back to the top. So they paid big for Jimbo Fisher, you know, the most money ever, $75 million over 10 years, guaranteed. So if he goes 0-5 and is fired, he's still making $75 million from A&M. That's how all in they are, but yeah, I think he's at a place where it's going to be harder to achieve what they expect. Not harder to win, but harder to achieve what they expect.
Yeah, and do you think that he can win like he won at Florida State at A&M, or is A&M their little brother disease to Texas, or the SEC and Alabama just too big a hill to climb?
Yeah, all those things. Look, the expectation at A&M is a national championship. It's not multiple. And I just told you what they've achieved. They've gotten one in their history, 1939. You know, over 10 years, I guess, you know, the length of the contract kind of said to me they're waiting out Nick Saban. Yeah. You know, the Jimbo Fisher is going to be around when Nick Saban isn't, and maybe that will give him some advantage. But right now, they go into the 2018 season, the Aggies, as the fourth-best program in that division. You know, we're talking about the West with Alabama, Auburn, LSU, A&M fits in there somewhere at number four or five, if you consider Mississippi State as Nick Fitzgerald back. They might be the number four team. So it's going to be hard. It's, you know, and how much rope and time will they give him to get there?
We're talking right now to Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. Great top 65, or the 65 ranking of all the BCS coaches, and Notre Dame as well slid in there. It's great fodder. And the highest of the Big 12 coaches you mentioned is Gary Patterson at 6, Mike Gundy at 11, and then Bill Snyder at 12. Down three spots from number 9. Is this a make-or-break year? I mean, if he dropped a few spots, last year's team, maybe for the first time in a long time, actually underachieved. Usually he's always finishing ahead of what people's expectations are. I don't want to say make-or-break when you've got a Hall of Fame career like he does, but is this one where he really needs to bounce back and surprise some people and maybe exceed expectations, or people are going to start rumbling about it being time for a change?
Yeah, I think we're already there with that, just because of, you know, him at 78 having beaten throat cancer. I think a large part of the K-State fans are figuring out, you know, are asking the question, how long? I don't mean that as disrespect. You know, how long is Bill going to go? He has built that thing on fighting above their weight class. You know, getting a five-star, coaching up three stars, always, you know, overachieving, and maybe that didn't happen last year. But yeah, I think not a make or break year, but you know, okay, which way is Bill Snyder Kansas State team headed at his age? You know, do they go 9-3 and everything's okay, or does it just all fall apart? I hate to say that, but yeah, I think if that's the term, make or break, then that certainly is.
The rest of the Big 12, Tom Herman and Matt Campbell. Herman at 28, Matt Campbell at 30. Campbell had a great year. He had two giant wins, and certainly I get it. I mean, everybody in Ames should be bullish on Matt Campbell. But, the fluidity that's there after those top four, and you see guys that are moving up and moving down, to really hold that spot, he's got to follow it up and add to it. I mean, he created – a pretty big bar to achieve now moving forward, didn't he?
Yeah, Matt Campbell. Yeah, I think it was in early November. Was it November or October? They were tied or had the lead in the Big 12, and they were ranked.
Yep.
They ended up having a fine season. I think it's only going to get better for Iowa State. Now, I think there's a ceiling there at Iowa State that you're probably not ever going to win the Big 12. But I think there's things you can accomplish there, and we've seen by their fan following and you know, what can be done there in the past. If they can get to 9-3, I think that's their ceiling, and I think Matt Campbell can get them there. They've done everything to keep him. You've seen it. You saw his name pop up in the offseason for other jobs, and he's well compensated. He got a raise and an extension. I love this. This is one of my favorite stats of the offseason. Their tailback, David Montgomery, is rated by Pro Football Focus, we're all familiar with that,
yep,
as the number one running back in college football by their metrics. I think that's a heck of a story. I want to do that story and just find out why. I know he's good.
Right.
But why is he the number one running back?
After that, moving on in the Big 12, Dana Holgorsen at 35 from West Virginia, Matt Rhule at 44 from Baylor, Cliff Kingsbury all the way down at 49, and he's up eight spots to 49, and 65. Last is David Beatty. He dropped five spots. They're all kinds of guys that are first-year coaches that are in front of him. Is there any chance for David Beatty to turn this thing in the right direction this year and or ever?
That's a great question. When you say ever, no, of course there's a chance. I just don't see right now the infrastructure and the talent. And, you know, they're building this $350 million facility upgrade with the indoor and improvements to the stadium, basically as a hedge against staying in the Power Five in the next round of realignment. Will David Beatty be there to enjoy it? Well, we don't know. And if you're going to do anything with David Beatty, who's 3-33 in three seasons, you can't do anything with him until you probably get rid of Shane Zenger. And I'm just kind of repeating the mantra of Kansas, where you don't, you know, I guess the word is you can't trust Shane to hire a third coach, you know, after he's hired Charlie Weiss and David Beatty. And I think it was it Turner Gill before that? I'm trying to remember.
Well, he didn't hire Gill, but Gill was the guy Turner in front. Gill. Yeah.
But it would be Weiss and then Beatty and then a third coach. I don't think the administration ever trusts him to hire a third coach.
Do you – how much do you put in – one of the things that's because his job, his position is being talked about a lot, and one of the things that gets bandied about is that, you know, the word is that he couldn't – he had no buyout money. Like when they had to buy out their previous coaches, he had no money to go buy out a coach from another job, $0, which basically meant every college football head coach and coordinator was off the table. And – I haven't heard the same thing. That was when he hired Charlie Weiss. I have not heard the same thing, but I've heard that there were serious restrictions as well when they made the David Beatty hire. Look, Shane Zinger's ultimately going to live or die with football. I think everybody understands that.
Yeah.
This thing's going to get going, or he's probably going to lose his job. But is reality that Kansas has to check themselves, and they can fire an AD, but in reality, it was that they didn't put the resources. Now, they're obviously putting a lot more resources into the buildings, but they didn't put the resources into the coach, which is undoubtedly the most important part of the equation, that they went cheap when it came time to hire. Shane Zinger may not have been able to, you know, you could have given him $50 million a year. Maybe he would have hired the wrong guy.
Yeah.
But when you take the largest part of your talent pool off the table, was he given an impossible task? Was he set up to fail from the beginning?
Well, there's a reason, you know. Part of that is on him, the fact that he didn't have enough money. His pool of coaches he could hire was very limited. So part of, you know, the failure of Kansas football, part of that's on him. That didn't happen in a vacuum. So, yes, they were limited as to who they could hire. David Beatty was a receivers coach at Texas A&M and highly regarded, but not a coordinator, had not been a head coach. I think I just heard him on a conference call last week. Right now, they're just getting up to the scholarships in the 70s. Well, that should never be after 3 years. I think they've taken some JUCO guys. I think they've taken some transfers where you can't build your depth up. And after 1 year, absolutely. But after 3 years, you should be getting up there towards 80, 85 if you're recruiting full classes.
Let's talk about the other local coach. Let's talk about Barry Odom at Missouri. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Dennis Dodd, by the way. Barry Odom is up 7 spots from number 62 to number 55. Last year looked like he was barreling towards losing his job. Gets it rolling in the end. Somewhat schedule-driven. You know, the schedule softened up, but you still got to go win those games, and he did it. Texas, I thought the bowl game was a great opportunity to really springboard off that. They didn't play well against Texas. Who is Missouri? Are they, you know, and what are they under Odom right now? Are they the team that was looking bad before the schedule softened up, or are they the team that put together some wins?
I think it's to be determined. Missouri fascinates me right now because if you've taken the, you know, temperature of their stock or the program halfway through the season, it was all about Barry Odom holding on to his job. Then they win 6 in a row, get to a bowl. Not only does Josh Heupel get a job at Central Florida, but Drew Locke sets the SEC record for touchdown passes in a season, and along with Shea Patterson, might be the top two quarterback coming out next year in the draft. Now, as far as the team goes, you hit it right on the head. They win those 6 in a row. They beat Idaho. They beat Connecticut. They beat Florida and Tennessee, who were without their coaches. They were getting rid of their coaches. Now they have to go to Florida. They have to go to Tennessee. I think Georgia comes to Missouri. But the tougher games are on the road this year. And I would look for them to take a step back from what they did from 7-6. How that affects Barry Odom, I don't know. You've got the Derek Dooley situation. Another thing that fascinates me, I went and talked to him earlier in the year about, you know, I said the 800-pound gorilla, Derek, is the fact he'd never called a play or coached a quarterback. And he goes, yep, he completely owned it. He said, I can learn. I've got all this experience. I'm a Nick Saban protege. And he hearkened back. Jason Whitman, he were really tight when he was with the Cowboys. And he said when they get really down about something or get depressed, they would say, nobody gives a bleep, and you can fill in the word. So Derek Dooley is a free spirit. You're going to have more of a pro style, not totally, but more of a pro style at Missouri. I think Drew Lock's going to have a really good year.
You mentioned the schedule, and maybe they take a step back this year. But yeah. Do you feel like Odom is putting the pieces together? Like what I don't like, and listen, it's true at Kansas too. We've seen a lot of coaching changeover when the assistant coaches are constantly being replaced, and we're seeing that at Missouri as well. But do you feel like that the pieces are being put in place to build something? Maybe it is a step back this year because of the schedule, but are they going to be taking one back to take two forward in the near future?
Can I answer that after year three? I hate to pop out, but because I don't know. You know, we've seen the first year. We've got this 6-game winning streak to hang our hat on. You know, they've got a really, really good quarterback in a tough division where Georgia's getting ready to get up and run away with the division for a period of years. I want to see after this year, you know, after 3 years, just kind of, you know, kind of a judging point for all coaches. You get your own guys in there. You get your philosophy in there. But, again, their philosophy is changing offensively, you know, after they're getting a new offensive coordinator, which is kind of strange to me. You know, you've heard rumblings that Drew and the Locke family wanted to get somebody in there who ran low as a pro style. And I think that's fine. But they are changing philosophically to what they are, so we'll see.
How many of these guys are hanging on their ranking based upon who their quarterback is? I mean, Odom's one that would jump to mind, and
Yeah. That's
one of the things he's going to have to do is find the next guy, because I know Drew Lock didn't hit the ground running the way a lot of people thought he would, but he has delivered the goods and been as good as advertised when he was being recruited, at least now, and you mentioned leading the country in touchdown passes. But whether it's him or others, how many of them are just hanging on how good their quarterback is, and they're going to plummet as soon as that guy's gone?
On these rankings or
yeah.
in general? Well, I think at the top, they are who they are. They're championship coaches. I think in this mid-range 26 to 65, and you go, I guess they're pretty good this year. You know, Mario Cristobal is a guy, I'm looking at Barry Odom. Mario Cristobal at Oregon is 54. He's been a head coach. He won a Sun Belt title at FIU, for gosh sakes. And he's got Justin Herbert, a returning quarterback, who just might be that other guy with Drew Lock, who are the top two quarterbacks in the draft. And it just seems – people don't seem to realize that. I think I personally had him ranked much higher. But, LSU, Ed Orgeron, 56, unbelievable. They don't have a quarterback. You know, they might if Joe Burrow from Ohio State goes there as a grad transfer. But if you don't have a quarterback these days, you – don't have a chance, and that's where these rankings kind of at this level should.
All right, let me hit a couple of guys outside that are at least of local note. Let's start with Scott Frost at Nebraska, not on the list last year because he was at Central Florida. Debuts in the top 65 at number 21. Were you bullish on Frost? Did you have him higher or lower?
No, I had him higher. I'm all in for Scott Frost. I think he is, first of all, he's media friendly, which helps. But sooner or later, you're going to have to prove himself, and he did. Look, I went and visited him 2 summers ago when he started at UCS, an 0-12 program, and he sat there and told me what he was going to do. He didn't say they were going to go 13-0, but you know, take the Chip Kelly offense, lock, stock, and barrel. We're going to do this and that, blur offense. And he fulfilled everything he said in that interview to the point that they went, obviously, 6-7 and then 13-0, and that resulted in the Nebraska job. I think he's going to get it done. And by getting it done at Nebraska, I mean winning the West Division, which then gives you a chance, punchers or otherwise, winning the Big Ten. He's got a philosophy, something that Nebraska hasn't had since Frank Solich got fired in, I think, 03. They're going to use the tempo offense. They're going to recruit elite quarterbacks, and they're going to be very, very physical on both sides of the ball, which is what Nebraska has to get back to. They just lost their way. They didn't have a philosophy under Bill Callahan, more of one with Bo Pelini and then Mike Riley. But I think Nebraska is going to be back in short order, and I think Scott Frost is one of the better younger coaches in the country.
Dave Doran, a local guy, he jumped 20 spots at NC State from 59 to 39, lost a lot of talent in the draft. Does he have it rolling, or did he just kind of capitalize on a magical year?
No, I think he's got it rolling. His name came up prominently for the Tennessee job. In fact, we know from that document dump that he interviewed and got pretty deep with Tennessee. So a lot of people think a lot of him in that league. The problem is Clemson and Florida State are not going to be beaten for the foreseeable future. So, again, there is a ceiling there in the ACC. I think he could go somewhere else and maybe achieve better. But he's another guy that's taken, you know, no five. So he did have Bradley Chubb, who I think was a five-star coming out. I'm not sure. But he did develop Bradley Chubb. They've done some things there, gone to bowl games. And really not right now, overshadowed North Carolina and the state. So there's something to be said for that.
But he's still ranked below Fedora on the rankings.
Yeah, I think Fedora gets the rankings from a guy that's real. From what I talk to, his name comes up a lot in openings. He's one of the better offensive minds. You know, he's had guys there that he's put into the pros. I'm thinking of the guy that the guy the Bears took number two overall last year. He had one season of experience, so he can develop quarterbacks to some degree. Mitchell Trubisky, sorry. I'll buy that.
All right, and then Herm Edwards. Love Herm. Herm is looking down at only David Beatty. He's at number 64. I do. Herm Edwards is as good a guy as it gets. But, man, if he's a success at Arizona State, I will eat, you know, I will be so happy, but I also will be so wrong because I do not see it at all. And if there's a guy that could be lower than David Beatty at 3-33, it would be Herm Edwards. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. I think that's probably exactly where he needs to be. And I went and visited him last week when I was out in Arizona. And look, I want to play for him after sitting in that interview. You know how he is. I mean,
yeah.
You know the guy. So fired up. They've given him $300 million in stadium and facility improvements. The guy is so genuine. He's on his way to work every day, he goes and works out and buys coffee for the homeless near the facility. I mean, that's what kind of guy he is. We shouldn't be surprised. But for Arizona State, a school I've long said, why can't you find 85 elite guys on scholarship that want to play in that culture, in that weather, in that scenery, at that place? I've never understood why Arizona State doesn't compete for championships every year. And they put in this, you know, surround this NFL model. They've actually got a senior associate AD who's the quote-unquote general manager. You know, Herm, they fired the head coach, Todd Graham, and kept the coordinators. Now, they didn't stay, Billy Napier and Phil Bennett. But, you know, the head coach wasn't good enough, but the coordinators were, which was puzzling. I don't know if Herm can coach. It's been 11 years since the NFL and 29 since he's been in college. I think this is where you have to put them until further notice. And Arizona State, to me, is this perpetual 6-6, 8-4 team. Is Herm Edwards the guy to get him to the next level? We'll see.
Yeah, we will. I hope so. It'll be a great story if he does. Dennis Dodd is with us from CBS Sports, part of a great piece. You can go and check it out. They've ranked all 65 BCS coaches. Time for my Mosquito Squad Final Four for you, Dennis.
All right.
Four quickies. Here we go. I'll start you with this. The national title game this year will be who? Who over who?
I think it'll be Alabama over, you know what? I'll say Michigan State. Because I think they're good enough to get into the playoffs. They're that talented. They've got so many players coming back. Maybe Clemson takes a step back, so I'll go out on a limb there.
Longer at their current jobs, Snyder, Odom, Beatty.
Ooh, wow. I think Snyder.
Okay. Yeah, that says something there. Yeah. That says a lot. Yeah. All right. Is the Big 12 around in 10 years?
In 10 years, in 2028, I think it will be because I think they're – I've said this for a while in the midst of all this expansion of – you know, right now for – and you have to start with Oklahoma and Texas. Oklahoma and Texas, you know, the money's basically a wash wherever they go because in 2 years – based on Texas Network and Oklahoma's, they have a deal with Fox Sports Southwest. They're going to be clearing $50 million a year. That's Big Ten money. So the money's relative no matter where they go. I think the best place for those schools to win championships is the Big 12. You know, Oklahoma can go to the SEC. They immediately become maybe the fifth best program, despite all that history in that league. Does Texas want to fly over everybody and play in the ACC? You know, you know, they have, I guess, the academic chops to play in the Big Ten. But that's not their culture. So I'm going to say yes. I think there'll be a Big 12 in
that. Yeah, I love the logic behind it, too. I agree. It's like when everyone was talking about Florida State and Clemson coming to the Big 12, I'm like, what? And Dabo Swinney was the guy who said, we have everything we need to win a championship right here, including an easier path to getting into the playoffs.
Exactly.
All right, and finally, who should K-State hire? Who should they hire? Not who will they. Who should they hire when Bill Snyder does step away?
I think Brett Bielema sitting there in the wings, he'd be great. He'd be welcome. He's available. We know about the contract situation with Jim Leavitt, but I think he's 61 or 2 now, if that makes a difference. And then obviously Brent Venables would be a home run hire, but he hasn't left Clemson yet, so I don't know if he would now.
Dennis, great stuff as always, buddy. We really appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, Trent, thank you.